Welcome to Hermaphobia number 9. I'm Alan.
And I'm Mark, and we're here to talk to you about movies, TV, entertainment, tech news, anything that tickles our fancy.
You and the tickler.
Only my fancy.
So, how was your week?
Not too bad. It seemed to go pretty quick at work, although it was rather expensive for me. Like on Tuesday alone, I dropped $700 before I even got out of the house in the morning to go to work. Put $500 towards some road work that I have to get done where my cottage is, and another $200 for like a new, like used propane fridge and water heater there as well. I won't be able to take any advantage of those until like next summer, but next summer?
Yeah!
Looking good.
I got nothing, that's why I rent.
And I spent about $250 on DVDs this week as well. But they could be enjoyed right away, not have to wait. And I did so well for weeks on end there without buying any DVDs, but yeah. Last week, I don't know, just a lot of them caught my eye. Well, actually, I think the problem is that I haven't gone to Walmart in a couple of weeks. And how was your week?
Let's not talk about my week. Let's talk about my addiction. I have discovered that I have an addiction.
One addiction.
Well, one that's really kind of chapping my ass right now. I have an RSS addiction. My Google Reader gets up to, you know, 300, 400, 800, 1,000, and I lose my mind until I get it back to zero. Then I get it down to zero, and I don't know what to do. It's like I'm out of the internet by then. Like, I get my RSS reader down to zero, and
now what?
Exactly. It's like, well, damn it, now I got to find something to do.
Yeah, like gone are those days too. Like even for myself, like I used to just go online. I would go to the IMDb and I would just bounce from site to site to site on the IMDb, just following like an actor's career or a director's career, and just going like from movie to movie just to see what was what.
That's just it. I'm so spoiled with the RSS. I mean, everything comes to it, so there's not a whole lot of surfing that I have to do. I mean, even my podcasts and everything come right to the RSS feeders.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I still go and read some real world news, not just entertainment news.
I have that coming to my RSS reader too.
See, I didn't put any into my RSS reader. I used to have some, but then I found that it would just get all backed up because I never read it.
Yeah.
On the RSS feed. So I decided to cut it from there.
Yeah. No, so yeah, I got to figure out how to use the internet again. So,
me, I'm so smart.
Yeah. Smart like a male model. Speaking of which, I can't believe I'm going to be admitting this, but I started watching the first four episodes of season four of the Janice Dickinson Modeling Agency. Don't ask me why. She's such a fucking surgery monster, bitch. Scary, scary, scary. But it's like a car accident. It's like the Anna Nicole Show. I could not miss it.
I have got nothing here. I watched a couple of seconds as I came in from work, and I felt dirty.
As did I watching it. But I enjoyed the dirt. There's one deaf guy on there, and it's kind of fascinating watching him have to work through that handicap and you know, follow some sort of direction and stuff like that. Other than that, I mean, it's purely garbage, but you know, I can't look away.
Well, I guess I shouldn't tease, because I do watch stuff that you find rather
yeah wizard detectives. But enough said, right there.
Up. That was a good show.
Yeah, okay.
And like I know I like my Stargate and you don't so much, but yeah, each to their own.
There it is.
We're just going to have to be free to make fun of each other, that's all.
There you go. So what have you got in store for us today?
Well, in the news feeds, if you would have been following them instead of letting them pile up on you, you would have saw that, yeah, Best Buy acquired Napster for $121 million.
See, it's kind of a non-story.
I don't know. Like when you consider where Napster was like a few years ago, and now they have rebuilt their name and their reputation to be enough to be bought by Best Buy for $121 million. Those guys are just laughing all the way to the bank. But
yeah, but that's sort of where the story ends. Like, well, I mean, Napster isn't anywhere near close to iTunes. It's not anywhere near close to Amazon. It's not anywhere near any other music service online. And Best Buy buying it means what?
Well, hopefully more clout with the media franchises to get more music on there. Like Napster has 700,000 digital entertainment subscribers already. And the music on Napster, it's DRM free, is it not?
Like I said, non-story. Like, I just, I don't pay attention to Napster.
Ah, well. I thought it was kind of neat.
It's one of those things. It's sort of like, and then? Like, it's just, you know, there's no end game here. It's just, okay, they bought Napster. So, now what?
I just thought it was kind of neat that Best Buy is going to be getting into the music business. Kind of.
They have been in the music business. They're called CDs and their racks are full of them.
I know, but you'll be able to buy like singles and DVD or albums, from the web.
Best Buy had an online store before.
Well, obviously it didn't do too well because I didn't know about it because I thought this was news. Anyhow.
No, I mean, they talked about this on Buzz Out Loud, and it's sort of a dead end story. It's just they sold it. They bought it. Now what? Like, it's just, you know, it's just, I mean, Best Buy's a brick and mortar store. I mean, unless they're going to start trying to get, you know, into the Amazon game, but their prices aren't even comparable.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Amazon always has better prices on everything.
That's probably because, how many Amazon brick and mortar stores are there?
Well, there aren't. So,
Exactly.
But then, where does that put the sale? Where does?
Alrighty, I guess we'll just let that one go. Anything else that caught your eye this week? Obviously, I'm fascinated by all aspects of the news.
I am very unprepared today. I have spent the entire week watching that 70s show.
That is such a good show.
And I've been enjoying it. Okay, well, in my shared items on my Google Reader, because it's all about the Google Reader, Device had a story saying that HDTV and other electronic prices are expected to get much cheaper soon. In the market for a new HDTV or Blu-ray player, you might want to wait a couple months. All indicators point towards huge drops in prices for the holiday season, thanks to a combo of slowed consumer spending, the weak economy, and favorable demand. We're going to see HDTVs and other tech items hit their lowest prices ever. Now, in the story, they're saying that Blu-ray players will get down to about $150, which is in complete contradiction to what another story had said, that Blu-ray prices probably aren't going to go anywhere because they're not selling.
Yeah. I don't know. I had already predicted the drop of large consumer items a few months ago, expecting it to actually have been a little bit sooner than now.
Well, there's generally big sales, right? You know, post Thanksgiving, you know, that's where you see a whole bunch of price drops happening and everything. The lower end brands of TV are expected to bottom out on Black Friday, while high end TVs should be their cheapest in December.
Well, I was actually originally expecting it to drop when, all the Americans got that like tax rebate.
Oh no, I totally expected that to happen too, but they were slow coming. Those checks, they didn't seem to come with any kind of,
yeah,
you know, it seems like out here in Canada, if there's any kind of government rebate check, they pretty right. much all hit the box on the same within 3 days of each other.
Yeah. We got one just a little while back, just a few bucks from $90 or something like
that. Yeah.
And everybody in the lower mainland got it within like 3 days.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome. But then again, yeah, we've only got a tenth of the population of the United States. Yeah.
But so I mean, it's interesting. I mean, you've got one person on one hand saying, you know, prices are going to drop, and somebody on another saying, no, it's not going to happen. Primarily what I'm looking at is the Blu-ray players, because there's just no demand.
Yeah, and they can say all they want about how many Blu-ray players are selling because of the PS3s. Yeah, how many people who have PS3s bought them for the Blu-ray players?
Yeah. Mind you, if a Blu-ray player got down to $150, I might actually buy one. I mean, I really hate the format and everything, but there's a few titles that have come out that, you know, that I wouldn't object to spending the money on. Maybe not. I don't know.
Do the same packages come with the DVDs as opposed to the Blu-ray releases?
You mean in terms of special features and stuff like that? I don't think so. I don't think there's much difference, really.
Until there is, I don't see a reason to buy.
But there's that kick-ass Halloween set that's coming out with the mask and everything, and it has the Blu-ray and the DVD in the package. So I would already have a Blu-ray disc, so I might want a Blu-ray player to watch the disc on.
That's like how you're going to have to buy a record player just to play this 45 that's coming in the mail.
I bought a Laserdisc player back in the day just to play a Laserdisc that I had. So,
which was probably what, Blondie?
No.
Oh,
Madonna.
That's right.
Sir, Blondie Ambition Tour. I'm so gay.
You are. It's like heterosexual.
Whatever,
Alan.
If it was an Enya Laserdisc, you'd been all over that crap, and don't even try and pretend that shit straight.
Enya is awesome. If you'd like to fall asleep,
yes, I'm sure there's millions and millions and millions of dead people that will agree, if they could.
According to the IMDb news, electronic delivery trumps DVD, says Time Warner chief. Studios can earn far more by selling their films on the internet and cable than on DVD, Time Warner chief Jeff Bukes told a Goldman Sachs investors conference in New York on Wednesday. Each electronic sell-through, he observed, produces $13 to $14 in profits for a studio versus about $10 for a DVD. He also noted that the improved quality of product available online, including high-definition downloads, the competition from camcorder bootleg movies has lessened. Online piracy, he indicated, had flattened out over the past 18 months.
There's so many contradictions in this story. Electronic delivery trumps DVD for a studio chief, yes, because they'll be making $3 to $4 more on the products. I don't think the consumers, well, I know the consumers on a mass scale are not ready to start downloading everything rather than going out and buying it. And I still think that I think that we as human beings, as the tactile animals that we are, we want something that we can hold in our hands.
Yeah, like I prefer reading a real book over an ebook.
Yeah.
But this is what I wanted.
An ebook is tactile. I mean, you can hold that in your hand.
I mean, like reading it on your computer. What I want to know is, what fantasy world is this guy living in? That they can have $13 to $14 in profits for a movie download.
Because there's no packaging. I mean, you can...
No, but here's the thing. How much would you pay just to download a movie?
They're charging $15.99.
They can... I'm not going
to
say it.
Well, that's what... I mean, no, they're expecting to make the same amount they're making for physical media on downloads. And no, it's absurd. It's ridiculous.
That is insane. That is why I thought this was kind of newsworthy to talk about, because I don't understand their thinking.
No, go to iTunes and see what they're selling their movies for.
It's, because you don't get any of the special features with it, do you? You just get
the movie? No, you get the movie. That's it. And you get it in a proprietary format that you're only going to be able to play it on X device, you know?
And is there an expiry date on it? Well, actually, there is an inherent expiry date on it.
Because
in case,
it's DRM'd.
Well, that and in case they decide to go... Well, we don't want to support this anymore, Google Video did and all the other ones.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I think also what's interesting in the story, too, is saying that online piracy has flattened out over the past 18 months. Why then am I seeing in front of every goddamn movie that I buy the little anti-piracy action short, you know?
wouldn't steal a car, would you?
Yeah,
well,
like if this
depends.
If this problem is going away, then why is it that the MPAA is like a freaking dog with a bone on the whole freaking piracy thing? To say that online piracy is going to interfere with DVD sales, I think is ridiculous. If you're downloading a movie and you like it, in all likelihood, you're going to go out and buy it. If you download a movie and you don't like it, you were likely never going to buy the movie in the first place anyhow.
Yeah.
And, you know, all that basically happened was that you saw it. It could have happened another way. You know, you could have owned the DVD. I might have been curious about seeing it, borrowed it, watched it, didn't like it, so I'm not going to go out and buy it. Either way, I mean, it's a lost sale. It's a sale that they weren't ever going to get anyhow. So the whole piracy thing is such a bugaboo, and them admitting that it's, you know, that it's ebbing out here is...
But where are they getting their numbers from, too?
Well, that's just it. Is he talking about honest numbers here, or are they talking about, you know, the trumped-up MPAA numbers?
Yeah.
That, you know, that every college student is sitting in his dorm room right now downloading, you know, the top 10 DVD releases. It's not...
Those bastards.
Yeah.
The college students, I mean. Like, come on, study! Well,
yeah, but I mean, if the MPAA doesn't say that, then, you know, how are they going to get, you know, a chunk of government-sponsored revenue the way that the RIA did when they got that thing passed for the schools where
That disturbed me.
Don't believe anything you read. Basically what it comes down to, especially when it comes to these lying bastards. And this is the thing
because
that
it's all about money in their pocket.
Well, it is, and you know, and that's the part that crushes me because I love music. I love movies. And there should be a purity in that, and there's not because these fuckers keep tainting it.
Yeah. But that being said, between us, we own probably 1,000 plus DVDs.
I own 1,000 plus DVDs.
Between us, we own like 1,300 plus DVDs.
I own about 1,300 DVDs.
How many do you own, fucker?
He's
just checking DVD Profiler right now.
1,307, not including those that are like in sets.
In box sets, yeah. I have 290 and change plus a lot of box sets too. We are movie and TV show aficionados. Like, we love our media.
I think maybe in the quantity department, we are aberrations.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of people out there that are buying a lot of physical media, be it CDs, be it DVDs. You know, anytime you go to a store, you know, whether it deals exclusively with media or whether it's a department in a store, there's tons of people in there, and they're buying stuff. They're standing at the counters. They're cashing out. Go to Costco. Good God. I mean, like, it's battle of the shopping carts around the small little DVD pit that they have there. People are buying stuff. I mean...
And even like us, like, we go to Walmart and we pick up, like, some awesome deals on DVDs because guys are trying to blow them out.
Yeah. How did we get from electronic delivery? I mean, the electronic delivery, I mean, I don't know. Like, I can see where there's purposes for it. You know, it in terms of a Hulu kind of way that, you know, if you want to catch a program that you've missed or maybe sample something before you buy it. Like, say you haven't seen the Sarah Connor Chronicles yet. God, why can't I say that?
I don't know.
You might want to go to Hulu and check out a couple episodes. But I can't see buying a whole season of Sarah Connor on iTunes for $2.99 a pop. And
having a DRM so you can only watch it on the device that you downloaded it on.
Exactly. Like when you can end up and spending the same or less.
Oh, a lot less.
And own the DVD. Well, it was a short season. It was eight episodes or something like that. But
still, 8 times 3, well, I guess it's 24, right?
Yeah.
And then, you're not getting any of the special features, the extended cuts.
And you're very limited in how and where you can watch it.
But actually, one other point that we were touching on here in this little story was your DVD profiler and how much or how many DVDs you've got in there. I have to admit that since you introduced me to DVD Profiler, I'm kind of liking it. As soon as I buy my DVDs, I'm throwing them right in there and getting the cover art. It looks all nice and pretty. But I still cannot get the mobile version working for my phone.
It's a version conflict, right? So
it's pissing me off. You, on the other hand, don't seem to have a problem with it.
Nah, but what I do, rather, like, because I don't have the mobile version on my phone, I run a report, turn it into a PDF, and put the PDF on my phone, and then I can just search that way.
I might have to try that myself, because, yeah, I know you are really bad with this, is that you'll go and you'll buy a DVD, and it's like, oh, crap, I already own it.
I'm not that bad with it. That's happened once.
In how long?
That's the first time. The last time it happened was probably back in May, and that was Phantasm. But I knew that if I had it, that I didn't have the version that I bought.
Ah.
So I knew if it was a double dip, I was trading up. So.
So actually, I'm worse at it than you.
You're
are.
Much worse at than
because
than
I've
I am.
Got, I've got only what. A fifth of your movies, and I've done it many times.
Yeah. No, I tend to have a pretty good idea of what it is that I have. Right now, I've got such a stack of stuff that I haven't watched. That's where things get gray, and that's why I ended up buying that Definitely Maybe again.
Yeah.
Is because I haven't got around to watching it, and I thought that I hadn't.
And that's what happened to me too. So like I was in our local. Rogers Video Store buying their used DVDs off the rack, and that's what happened. I was like, ooh, this sounds really good, and brought it home, and sure enough, it was sitting right on top of my pile of movies that I haven't watched yet that I bought the week before.
That's scary that it sounded good, that you know that you weren't familiar with the title, and yet you read the back twice and went, ooh, it's a must-have.
Getting old, man.
Yeah, you are. So it looks like we're going to back end all of our segments this week. And they're going to all be tacked onto the end here, so we'll just hit them one by one.
Alrighty.
Shall we start with earworms this week?
We shall. What song has been rattling in your head this week?
You know what? It's been a pretty non-musical week. Nothing really, but I guess the closest that would come was... I've had a shitty week. I've had a few shitty weeks, and I was driving in the car today, and I had put a bunch of MP3s on a disc and have had that in the car playing, and out of nowhere came Rock DJ.
Music for your masses. Give no head, no backstage passes. Have a proper giggle, I'll be quite polite. But when I rock the mic, I rock the mic. You got no love, then you're with the wrong man. It's time to move your body. If you can't get a girl, but your best friend can. It's time to move your body.
I do like that song.
It's a great song. I like Robbie Williams.
The video for it's awesome.
Oh, it's fantastic. And it's just fun. I mean, I guess it's one of those songs too. Like, it's kind of like Pat Benatar's Hit Me With Your Best Shot. For him, he hates doing it. It's been overplayed. He's overplayed it. Everything else, he doesn't like it anymore. But I'm sorry, every time that song comes on, I just got a little smile on my face. And yeah, it just kicks ass. How about you?
I had a couple songs, actually, this week that stayed me for a few days. fortunately, I was able to get rid of that.
Don't even mention it again.
Okay. But Feist, 1, 2, 3, 4.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 9, 10. Money can't buy you back the love that you had then.
1, kind of got stuck in there for a couple of days. Like 1, 2, 3, 4.
30s, 40s, 50s?
Brand spanky, man.
Oh, fuck me.
Yeah. It's a great song. Great little video. Canadian artist, too. That was kind of nice. There was another one in there for a little bit, but again, yeah, it only stayed for a day, and it's gone, and I can't remember what it was again. But most likely it was going to be something from like the 60s or 70s.
No doubt. If it ain't crusty, it ain't worth listening to, eh?
That's right, you young whippersnapper. Mm.
So I see you pegged something for the remake watch this week.
I did. I was going through cinemablend.com and their news releases. And according to them, Brett Ratner is not directing the remake of Conan the Barbarian. But possibly Robert Rodriguez instead. I know that Robert Rodriguez loves Conan the Barbarian. I guess he did a 60-minute panel at Comic-Con this year and about Red Sonja, and that's set in the Conan universe, and he's co-directing that movie, which I guess is also a remake.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know. I think I would much sooner have Rodriguez do that movie because I like his work.
I was never crazy about the original Conan. It was okay. I enjoyed Conan the Destroyer, but I mean, throw Grace Jones at anything and I'm all over it.
Oh,
so,
yeah. I had other problems with Conan the Destroyer, though. Like, his sidekick. It's like, hey, do you remember that camel? You weren't even in the first fucking movie, man. How would you remember it? Unless you watched it.
I don't know if it's his new sidekick. Obviously, there's some history before the movie started.
I don't know.
But, yeah, I don't know. The first one I found took itself way too seriously, and I know that right now we're sort of in a time where comic book movies take themselves very seriously. So, I like Rodriguez. You know, I think his stuff is amazing. I really like Rodriguez. Desperado, I think, is probably one of the best action flicks ever. Sin City's amazing.
I that was actually almost like I was this close to taking that as my movie pick this week.
Yeah, and I mean even The Faculty I liked. I mean, I think Rodriguez has established himself as a pretty solid director, and I look forward to everything that he's doing. If he's going to go through a whole sword and sandal period, yeah, I might be able to sit it out. But
any noises you hear in the background are Alan's dog, Reznor.
He's a sweet pup. He's just not too bright. Okay, so from remake watch, we go to our DVD movie picks of the week.
Alrighty. My DVD pick this week is actually the season one collection of The Closer.
So are we going to have a series of these next week? Will be season two? Or season two?
I don't have the season two DVDs yet.
Oh, don't you? I have season two and season three.
I know it's already in season four.
Season four is over. Sadly, over.
Yeah.
Yet another abbreviated season because of the goddamn writer's strike.
And this is yet another show that you turned me on to a little while back, and I was able to watch them all back to back. That was like Dexter. Like you said, you've got to watch this. And fortunately, it was right at the end of season one, and I was able to watch them all back to back. the closer with Kira Sedgwick, J.K. Simmons,
G.W. Bailey.
Yeah. Just, it's an amazing show. And if you have not watched it, it's about a profiler that, well, she used to be a profiler, wasn't she?
I don't think so. She had previous experience with the CIA,
mm-hmm.
and she's being brought in from the east somewhere. I forget where into
Washington D.C.
Yeah, to head a new task force for the LAPD called the at first it's called the PMS. It's the Priority Murder Squad,
yeah.
which ends up getting changed to Priority Homicide.
Yeah.
And she's met with resistance right from the get-go. She's put into a high-level position, and other higher-ups in the force resent her coming in and taking this position. And the first season is really about her being at odds with her subordinates, and unifying them as a team.
It comes together so well. And Provenza.
G.W. Bailey, yeah. Yeah.
Who'd have thought he was such a good actor?
I know. I believe that we've talked about this before, him being in the Police Academy movies, and who'd have thunk, like. But he is fan. He's a revelation in this. He is so funny and surprisingly very touching sometimes, like, yeah. You know? It's just such a great show. Kira Sedgwick brings so much to this. This is not your average procedural show.
Oh no.
She brings so many quirks and so much character to this part that it's so fully developed.
And her boyfriend Fritz, who's in the FBI, like, all these qualities, all these great qualities that you see in her character, he turns them around on her and goes, well, this is what you don't like, and it's all about her.
Yeah.
And it's the relationships in this, is what this is all about.
Yeah, season one really starts setting everything up. I think it really kind of hits the ground on season two. But the season one, the building of the team and just discovering who Brenda Johnson is just it's a joy.
And the seasons are rather short, like the.
It's a 13-episode.
Season. Yeah. Season one.
Yeah, it's a summer. It's a summer show. It generally starts in June, I believe, and is over in the beginning of September. So.
But if you haven't watched it. Watch it.
Yeah.
You will not be disappointed.
Season one, season two, season three, season four. It is season, like I said, season four ended this week, and what a kick-ass episode.
They did a Christmas special kind of thing last year.
Oh man, it was fantastic.
It was awesome.
Oh, Frances Sternhagen plays her mother, and
you might remember her from Outland with Sean Connery.
Or as Cliff Clavin's mom on Cheers.
Yeah.
And
brilliant.
Oh, what's his name? Plays her dad from Bull Durham
and
Raising Arizona.
Northern Exposure. He played the astronaut guy. Northern Exposure.
But They're great as her parents. They're you know, good Southern folk from Atlanta and sometimes a little hipper than you'd expect to be. Other times a little more traditional than Brenda would like them to be. So
Barry Corbin. That's her dad.
No, it's not.
Isn't it?
No.
That is her dad.
No, it's not, dude.
Look right here. Look on the IMDb. Barry Corbin.
Oh, son of a bitch. I thought it was... What's his face?
Oh, no. You're thinking of the young guy.
Trey Wilson.
That's Bull Durham.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not him.
Oh, I thought they were the same person.
Wow. Oh.
Wow.
Yeah. So, all that stuff that he said was all wrong?
Yeah.
All the stuff I was saying was all right.
That doesn't happen often.
Ouch. And what about your movies, oh master of the cinema?
Well, I had to pick two this week because I like Tony Scott. Yeah. And, you know, I know there's a lot of people out there who really see Tony Scott as a complete and utter hack.
Yeah, kind of. I'll admit I was one of those people. Was that because it was what, Days of Thunder?
Days of Thunder, Top Gun, Revenge. Yeah. He went through a hack period. He went through a big hack period.
Yeah.
His first film, though, was The Hunger, which is one of my all-time favorite films. It stars Catherine Deneuve, David Bowie, Susan Sarandon, and Cliff DeYoung. And it is about a 2,000-year-old vampire who every couple of hundred years needs to restock her stable because her lovers tend to start expiring on her, but they never, ever completely die. She is currently with David Bowie, who in the short period of the movie advances his 200 years, and she has her eyes set on Susan Sarandon to take his place. It is primarily famous for the lesbian scene between Catherine Deneuve and Susan Sarandon, which and I mean, believe me, there's nothing about that scene that should in any way, shape, or form titillate me, and I enjoy it. It is stunning.
Yeah, I've read Catherine Deneuve's take on that, and yeah, she was, she found it quite exciting as well, but scary.
Well, I love Susan Sarandon's quote on it. It's like she kept getting asked about, you know, what was it like to do a love scene with Catherine Deneuve, and she's like, "It was Catherine Deneuve. What do you think?" Like. the DVD is fantastic. Tony Scott took it upon himself to restore the film. Mm-hmm. It looks beautiful on DVD. It is, oh my God, the blacks are so black. The colors are so vibrant. He's got a great commentary on it, as well as Susan Sarandon. It's their isolated, you know what I mean? Where they switch back and forth between.
Yeah.
It's not a running commentary, but it's just fantastic. Like I said, one of my favorite films, my favorite book by the novel by Whitley Strieber is my favorite novel.
I haven't seen The Hunger since I saw it in a repertory theater back in Kitchener, Ontario. Oh, sorry, Waterloo, Ontario, which is like one big city, Kitchener, Waterloo. But yeah, I sadly had not heard about it until I went to go see it in the theater. And this would have been 88 to 90 in there somewhere. And yeah, I was amazed.
Well,
it was such a nice movie.
It's one of those movies too that, I mean, like you go and read some of the stuff that's being written about it now. It's very, very revisionist because when it came out, it was slaughtered by the critics. They fucking hated it. But you look at the style of this film and how it's edited and everything else, it has probably the biggest influence on what we see in contemporary cinema now than most anything from that era. The way Scott cut the film, the look that he got, the style that he got, it played on MTV all through the 80s and just about every video that you saw, and you know, basically adapted itself into its own style.
That's kind of the reason why I saw it was like, yeah, critics might have dissed it, but it was playing in an art house cinema, and yeah, it was a work of art.
Yeah, and to bookend the hack period, I chose True Romance because that was sort of that was the resurrection of Tony Scott. It sort of seemed like after Days of Thunder, after Top Gun, after Revenge, after all the
movies that had the orange filter for this guy,
pretty much, yeah. You know, everything that you know, he was working for Bruckheimer and all that sort of stuff. I mean, it was just it was a sad period in a very creative man's career, I think, and he did True Romance, which was written by Quentin Tarantino and just an amazing, amazing cast. You've got Christian Slater, Patricia Arquette, Dennis Hopper, Val Kilmer, Gary Oldman, Brad Pitt, Christopher Walken, Tom Sizemore, Chris Penn, Bronson Pinchot, probably the only decent role Bronson Pinchot has ever fucking done.
Yeah.
Saul Rubin, not Saul Rubin, Saul Rubinek. Rubinek. It's a great, great film. It is so much fun, and it has this insane energy level to it. I mean, when the movie was over, I just wanted to go out and do something, anything, yeah. Drive a car fast, fucking just whatever, like knock over a liquor store. I don't know. Just do something. But you know, it was like 3 o'clock in the morning the first time I watched it. And so the only thing I could do was watch it again. And it is that kind of movie. It's fantastic.
Yeah. Yet another movie that I saw in a repertory theater.
Yeah.
Yes. I came out of there with the same kind of feeling as you. It was like all charged up. It's like,
Oh,
It was great.
It is. It's an amazing movie. It's well acted, well filmed, well edited. It contemporary classic as far as I'm concerned. You know, it really has Tarantino's voice, but it has Scott's style, and you can tell that he had fun making this film again. You know, and you actually saw a little bit of Tony Scott up there on the screen again, rather than just noise and blurs kind of thing, you know.
It was 10 years between the two movies too.
Yeah,
The Hunger was 83, True Romance was 93.
Yeah.
But I just want to backtrack a little bit here. Are you trying to say that Blame It on the Bellboy, a Bronson Pinchot movie, wasn't fantastic?
No, I believe actually the only other good work that he did after True Romance was that season of VH1's Surreal Life, which incidentally was with Janet Dickinson, so it all comes together.
Ah, look at that.
Why do I admit that I watch these shows? But I do. That was a hilarious season because Bronson Pinchot was all over fucking Janet Dickinson like a fucking cheap fucking suit, and she wanted nothing to do with him. All she wanted to do was nail Jose Canseco, which, you know, totally understandable, but...
Yeah, he is such a dorky-looking guy.
Oh, he's a very dorky guy. Trust me, you saw that season of Surreal Life, and yeah.
I'm sorry, I would never do that.
Dude, you know what? Never say never. Never say never. You may discover these shows and go, ooh, you know what?
I don't see that happening.
Come on, anybody out there with me with the really bad celebrity reality TV? Did you never even watch like the Anna Nicole Smith show?
No.
Oh man.
No,
it was the most glorious train wreck.
But there's some about those shows that it makes me feel uncomfortable and stupider. Like the Jerry Springer show, as I'm like going through the channels.
Okay, you know what? Don't even compare it to Jerry Springer, because all these people have their teeth. They do not live in trailers. They're not jumping from Montel to Jerry Springer to whatever. You know what I mean? Like, yes, you know, they're scripted and they're very manipulated and everything else, but they're a lot of fun. And you say that, you feel stupider. Hey, they make me feel better about myself. So, you know, there's two ways of approaching it, and you're kind of, doing the cup half full.
I am so sorry that I do not live in a trailer. So
I did. It was a double wide. Fucker! So I guess that wraps things up. All right, so that was episode 9.
Again, please feel free to give us your comments at termophobia.blogspot.com.
And you can rip this one apart, because let me tell you, I went into it so unprepared. we were freestyling like motherfuckers here.
But how are the audio levels for us this time?
With Reznor kicking the chair around, it's spiking here and there.
Yes, and again, also send us emails at hermophobia@gmail.com. Let us know what you think, some ideas, anything else that you want to see or listen to, actually, and in the way of media or tech.
Yeah, send us your email, keep the comments coming, interact with us, damn it.
Hey.
And until then,
see you next week.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. Me gusta tocar guitarra, me gusta cantar el sol. El mariachi me acompaña cuando canto mi canción. Me gusta tomar mis copas, aguardiente es lo mejor. También el tequila blanco con su sal de la sabor. Ay, 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 mi amor. Ay, mi amor.